Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Justin Cuthbert and myself, Ailish Forfar, holding it down this morning. Day after the Stanley Cup, 106 days till the NHL's back. We were going to talk to Jason York, just waiting for him to get on the line. But in the meantime, tonight the NHL Hockey Hall of Fame will announce their class of 2022.
That snuck up.
I had literally no idea.
Hockey World not taking a break.
No, they never quit. They're like Blake Murphy and all his jobs. NHL is trying to compete.
We haven't thrown shade at Blake yet, but...
He's taking today off and Friday off?
I was shocked.
I am shocked too.
Legitimately shocked.
After everyone praises that guy for not stopping working, he's like, oh, I'll take 2 days off.
He had to like host the Raptors show for the full week before he could justify that decision, which is hilarious.
Poor guy. But yeah, NHL, or the Hockey Hall of Fame class tonight took a look at some of the first-year eligible players. Roberto Luongo, Rick Nash, Caroline Ouellet, Daniel Sedin, Henrik Sedin, and Henrik Zetterberg.
Could be controversial.
There are also a couple more. That was like the first year eligible.
Okay. Then you got the Alfredsons.
Alfredson, yeah. Our very own Jennifer Botterill, Alex McGillney, and Keith Tkachuk. So quite a few names that could get a call tonight. You ponder that.
There's suddenly a bit of a squeeze. Maybe some left at the altar.
There's a lot that have to get in there. It might be sprinkled upon another year. So we'll ponder that after we talk to Jason York, our insider that's brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Jason York, former NHL defenseman and current Sportsnet analyst. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
We're good. We're riding the high of the Colorado Avalanche finishing the season last night. Really amazing to see the Stanley Cup, the hardest trophy in sports to win, and the joy on a lot of these guys' faces. What for you stood out last night in the celebrations?
I think, you know, listen to Kyle Bukauskas and Elliot and David talk to the guys. The one thing, just how humble these guys are and how appreciative they are of the people around them, the family. I really like this, and I don't know when it changed, but just the last couple of years, every time there's a celebration, the families are on the ice now, and seeing Kadri with his dad hold the cup up, and I don't know, the older I get, I guess, you have kids of your own, you just appreciate family that much even more, and you figure things out the older you get. But it seems some of these guys are figuring out at a young age how important family is. I just love seeing that. Maybe I'm an old softie, but just leaves you with the warm and fuzzies when you see that happening. And I guess, just how appreciative these guys are.
Don't worry, I'm a young softie, and we both here this morning talked about how it kind of brings a little emotion to you to see it. And you talk about some of the younger guys already having that mentality. I've been just blown away by Cale Makar's level of maturity. He just won three, you know, incredible trophy cabinet stuffers this week alone. You know, he's already being compared to some of the best of the best. As a defenseman yourself, like, how do we start to evaluate what he's done as a 23-year-old and maybe where we expect him to be in 10 years?
Well, he sure raised the bar for expectations of what's to come. Like, what's left to win for this guy? And, you know, when I watch him, he reminds me a lot, well, you can say Bobby Orr, but none of us are really old enough to talk about watching Bobby Orr live. But I used to make my kids watch this tape. It was called The Best of Bobby Orr, and watching what he used to do back in the day. I guess for me, that's probably the closest comparable. Maybe a guy like Brian Leetch as well. Paul Coffey, who I had the great pleasure of playing with when I broke into NHL, playing with Paul Coffey. Just the way those guys skate. And to me, that's the big difference with Makar. He's the best skater on the ice. I love those replays we got to see when he was defending against Connor McDavid, because I don't think people understood. We all knew how great offensively Makar was, but how good defensively he is, and that really resonated in that series against Edmonton. But yeah, it's this guy is so good at such a young age. And that whole Colorado blue line, like, let's not forget, they won this cup without Sam Girard on that blue line, who he's a top four defenseman as well, another prolific skater. But McCarr, just an unbelievable player. I guess we can say this is coming. This was his coming out party for all of North America to see. But people in Denver knew how good this guy was. People that play against this guy knew how good he was. And now the whole world knows how good this guy is.
Yeah, he really leads the line for what you mentioned it, how good that defensive pairing, that top defensive pairing is, how good that defensive unit is. I almost think that the strength of that team shifted from their forward group to their defensive core once Cale Makar burst onto the scene. And, you know, we're sifting through, like, lessons and what we might or what we should and shouldn't take when comparing other teams and trajectories and all that. I just think the way that they put together that defense core with Cale Makar leading the line is something teams have to look at, because the strength of that team, I really think, was in their defense.
Yeah, and let's... Like, building your team, they always say you got to build from the blue line and the goaltender out. And you go back to how this blue line was built. You got to draft well. You got to have good close scouting, but you also have to have a little bit of luck. And you look at two of those blue liners. I know Girard, who we just talked about, didn't play in the finals, but he helped them get there. You go back to that trade with the Ottawa Senators and the Nashville Predators. They get Sam Girard coming back in that trade for Matt Duchene from the Nashville Predators. And the other player, and Kevin Bieksa, to hit on this guy. And I'm glad you did last night in the broadcast, because I thought Bowen Byron was unbelievable in that final. They got the Ottawa Senators' fourth overall pick in that trade, and that pick turned out to be Bowen Byron. So Joe Sakic, in one trade, picks up two defensemen who are... Now, Byron was great, another coming up party for him, but those two guys are going to be, well, Girard is, but they are elite defenders. So that one trade single-handedly changed the whole landscape of that blue line. So Joe Sakic, you watched him with the cup last night, which was awesome to see, but you got to give him full marks for pulling the trigger on that trade.
I guess another key takeaway for me is that you can sort of start again. I mean, literally 5 years ago, this was the worst team in the salary cap era. Just 48 points, and they already had gone through a failed attempt at a rebuild. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon came along in 2013, I believe, Gabriel Landeskog in 2011. That was your future leader and future superstar, and yet they failed with Joe Sakic to build around those two and started over. Is that just another take-home message we should have here, is that it's possible to get it wrong the first time, but then get it right the second time?
100% in the salary cap era, and like I just mentioned, you got to be able to get lucky, and you got to talk about the pro scouting as well, because you can't win a Stanley Cup without those secondary players, without those glue guys. Two players, or one player in particular, who I thought was awesome, I ended up getting the series, the cup winning goal, and I got a chance to watch this player when I did Montreal Canadiens broadcasts, or Gary Lehkonen. Like, how good was this guy in the playoffs for the Avalanche with all the injuries, players going down? This guy was so clutch, and they picked him up in a trade with the Montreal Canadiens. I can't remember what they got him for. I'm going to say maybe a second or a third round pick. Like, not that big of a cost to bring in a guy that did that much good for the Colorado Avalanche, but Colorado's pro scouts did such a good job identifying. Gareth Joy, I know he's a guy I played with back when I played junior hockey for the Hamilton Seahawks. He's been with the Colorado Avalanche for a long time as a pro scout. These guys are in the ranks, and some teams just have better pro scouts than others, and obviously Colorado scouts were doing an unbelievable job with their pro scouting, and so too was Tampa guys. You don't get there without your pro scouts. And Nick Paul for the Tampa Bay Lightning guys, like, how good was this guy in the playoffs coming into free agency as well? That guy's going to make a lot of money this summer.
Yeah, you picked on something really important there. I mean, it was kind of a feverish deadline. There were a lot of first-round picks being thrown out, but the Lightning and Avalanche, I mean, the Avalanche got lucky because I think Josh Manson made it pretty clear he was going to one spot, and they were able to get that deal done. But waiting on Lehkonen for Colorado, waiting on Paul for the Lightning, and not really giving much up at all. Just another example of what these two teams do so well. And that leads me to my next question. I mean, for me, this felt like the true best on best in the Stanley Cup Final for one of the first times in a long time. Was that like refreshing to you? Like, was it more enjoyable to experience these two teams going at it just because we knew that they were legitimate, they were real, they could be back next year? They're just the class of both conferences, and it was a treat for me. I'll just answer my own question, seeing these two teams go at it.
Hey, listen, I did radio for a long time too. One of my buddies, we used to interview guys, and he would frame the question. I'm like, well, you know what this guy answered? Now you basically just told him what you wanted to hear, but it's true. Like, we just watched. I think one of the best, not just series, one of the best playoffs in a long, long time. I thought the first round was incredible, which it always is. And then some of the other series were just spectacular. But, yeah, those were the two best teams. I didn't want it to end. I was watching last night. I'm like, come on, Tampa, I want to see Game 7. just after 2 years of COVID and the lockdowns, to finally have hockey, see people back in the buildings, and then get, like you said, best on best. It was awesome. But, man, you said it earlier when we got on the phone here. This is the hardest trophy in sports, sir, to win. And these guys, they look like skeletons at the end. They're so tired. Guys are completely beat up. Both teams were decimated with injuries. You see Kadri lifting the cup with the broken finger. Then you get word that he couldn't even tie his skates. Mm-hmm. It's just so Braden Point trying to gut out some of those games. You could tell this guy could barely skate. That's what makes hockey incredible. That's what makes the Stanley Cup incredible. And, yeah, it's the hardest trophy to win. And we just had the pleasure, like you said, of watching the two best teams go toe-to-toe here.
How much do you think that those injuries on the Tampa side just let them fall short a bit, not having enough bodies, not having the momentum to sustain getting those three wins in a row here?
Don't forget, three wins in a row and 3 years in a row. This is the third year that Tampa had to go deep. That takes so much out of your body. I can remember finishing a season in the NHL back when I used to play. I was so exhausted for about a month. I'd take a month off, get back to training, but I'd usually lose in the first round. So I had all of May, June, July, August to re-energize. Get your body ready, because your body is so beat up at the end of an NHL season. You need time off, and then you need to train properly to get yourself ready for the next season. These guys didn't get a chance to do that, especially the core players like Kucherov. Like Kucherov, it's going to come out. He looked like he was playing hurt as well. He barely moved. Like, the speed to me was really a factor as this series went on. Everybody said, well, look how much faster Colorado is than Tampa. But I just think Tampa was the more beat up team. Kucherov, for sure, not having Braden Point as well. And I know Colorado had injuries just as much as Tampa did, but Braden Point is so clutch, is such a big-time playoff performer. Not having him in the lineup, I think that was probably the biggest factor in Tampa not being able to get this done.
Yeah, it looked like they were running out of bodies for sure. I think it was more or less, you know, wilting in terms of personnel than it was running out of gas. Like, they really still had that motivation and energy. Those who could have been in the lineup or could play, they were full value for their performance. It was really an impressive effort, even in a loss to the Avalanche. But it did feel, despite all that, that it was kind of slipping away from the Avalanche. Like, they didn't lead for the majority of four straight games, and the Lightning seemed like they were sucking them into their world a little bit until the MacKinnon and Lehkonen goals in the second period. And then it looked like the Lightning lost their nerve just a little bit, even if it was just momentarily. Were you sort of surprised of the reaction right after that? Their composure maybe lost for a bit, and then their inability to break down the Avalanche at all in that third period. I think they were limited to just two shots at 5-on-5.
Yeah, and I was reading some of the analytics as that game went on, and I think for the longest time I was reading that Tampa only had one inner slot opportunity. Colorado, I don't think they got enough credit for how good defensively they were, and you hit the nail on the head. That third period, they really locked it down. They didn't give them a sniff. I think they had that one cross pass that came across in Kucherov, but They had Kepler had enough time to reset and make the save on that. So they just shut them down, and they kind of beat Tampa at their own game defensively, because Tampa was doing that to teams all throughout the playoffs. They'd get up, their power play was cooking, and all of a sudden you couldn't get in on them. But Colorado, and that's the thing, when you've got a really mobile group of defensemen, it really helps in defending. And Colorado did a great job of defending, especially late in that third period. But was I surprised that Tampa got unhinged like they did? Not really. There's so much emotion going on. There's so much on the line. One thing, too, Colorado started to get a few what I call puck luck. Like that one Lehkonen goal, McKinnon didn't try and make that play. The puck just tried to go one way with the puck, bounced the other, bounced right onto Lehkonen's stick. And Lehkonen with an unbelievable shot to beat Vasilevsky. But, hey, he earned those chances as well. Colorado was getting more of the great A's during that game. And all of a sudden, it's funny, the bounces just started going their way, and you could just feel – you could feel the series was kind of unhinging. And even though it was a one-goal game, guys, didn't it feel like Colorado was in total control the whole third period?
Yeah, they limited Tampa to, I think it was one stretch where they didn't get a shot for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, with a three-peat on the line, it was an incredible third-period performance.
I wonder your thoughts on just John Cooper's kind of demeanor, and if that starts to play into the lack of composure that a team has. You know, he made it very clear that he didn't agree with a lot of calls, and it started to trickle down to what looked like anxiety and a lot of emotion through the players, at least in that second to third period.
Yeah, like I said, there's so much on the line. I don't care who you are as a coach. You can't stay that cool for that long, for that many months in the playoffs, and for the third year in a row. So I give Coop full marks for holding it together as long as he did. You know what? It is an emotional game, like I said, and sooner or later you're going to crack. And I think in that later in that game, I just saw, I think it was Patrick Maroon after that one goal, he gave the good two-hander, broke his stick. I forget which player it was, but hey, Manson. That's a penalty. But the refereeing, as the playoffs go along, each round they let a few more things go, and all of a sudden, I think I tweeted this out in the third period, I said, you're going to have to chop someone's head off to get a penalty here in the third period. But it's true, as a referee, and I used to ref as a kid, you never want to decide the game as a referee, and then also, too, you just don't want to let everything go. And, man, it was... there was a lot of stuff being let go in that third period. And then that's when guys get frustrated. I think with Maroon, he was upset. He got hooked on that play. That's called all day long in the first round, second round too, third round, potentially fourth round, not a chance to call him that. And I think that's part of the reason, too, you saw some of the frustrations. As a player, you kind of know what you're going to be allowed to get away with on the ice. And in the third period, you could get away with anything.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. It's really impossible. Like, it's easy to be, you know, look at the Lightning and be like, oh, they're whining. And like, why are they whining as two-time defending Stanley Cup champions? But there's so much emotion in this, an emotion that I think many people aren't ever going to understand. And I get it, that it would be at least...
Look at the end of the game. And people want to understand where the emotion comes through. Look at it pour out after these guys are celebrating. You have grown men crying on the ice, not being able to explain their words, how much this means to them. And Steven Stamkos had that great quote. He said, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. That's what makes it great. That's what makes it emotional. Hey, if a couple guys are going to get unhinged in the third period, I get it. I understand. Like, people work their entire lives for this as hockey players to try and get it done. A few things are start not to go your way. You're going to get unhinged from time to time. To me, it was totally, it's just part of the whole thing.
And credit to Cooper for, you know, his grace after. Like, he was, there was a bit of a controversy after his, cliffhanger after game four, and whether or not he was handling losing the right way. But he certainly did after game six. And not only was he graceful, but he was confident still. And he was pretty determined. Or pretty steadfast in his belief that the Lightning were going to be back. Now, they have some challenges ahead, but nothing should suggest that the Lightning won't be back, would it?
It's always tough to predict who's going to be back. I think Colorado is a lot safer bet if you're talking about teams that are going to be back. I just look at that Eastern Conference right now, and there's a lot of good teams. I'm looking at that one team that really pushed the Tampa Bay and the New York Rangers. Pretty tough to bet against a goaltender like Igor Shesterkin. Like, how good was that guy in the playoffs? Like, I don't think they had any business beating the Pittsburgh Penguins. It helped that Sidney Crosby got hurt. The series the Rangers had against Carolina was tight. But the goaltender, hey, he's the most important guy on the team. He's the most important guy in the playoffs. I've got Igor Shesterkin as my goaltender. I've got as good a chance as anybody to get back to where the Tampa Bay Lightning were and to how far the Rangers go. So I've got my eye on the New York Rangers. I don't think Tampa is going to be a shoo-in to get back next year. Carolina is another team. I think Florida is going to rebound. But I absolutely, if I'm going to pick a team, Colorado with what they've got. I know McDavid's out there in Edmonton. They've got to shore up that blue line. So Colorado for sure. But I'm not sure about the East. There's a lot of big players out there now.
Jason, before we let you go, is tonight the night that Daniel Alfredsson gets the call to the Hall?
I really hope so. Mm-hmm. Just playing with Daniel for 5 years, he's a good friend. And not just the player. Off the ice, he has been just a true ambassador in this community here in Ottawa. He's been an advocate for mental health. And long before people started really paying attention to the mental health, Daniel's been doing some tremendous work here with the Royal Ottawa Hospital. He was clutch in the playoffs. You can argue that he never won a cup, but there are people in the Hall that haven't won a cup. He's got an Olympic gold, the Calder. And I'm a believer, too, in the importance of a face of a franchise. Mm-hmm. Daniel Alfredsson has been the face of the Ottawa Senators franchise since he came into the captain here. They went to a final. He was consistent. He was a two-way player as well. He wasn't just all about offense. So if I was voting, I know I live here in Ottawa. I know I played for him, but he'd be a guy I would have going in this year. I sure hope it gets done. A lot of people here in the city, a lot of people that have coached, have been played with, they're all pulling for him. So fingers crossed here in Ottawa for Daniel Alfredsson.
Couldn't agree more. We'll see tonight who the class is. A couple really big names, so it'll be a competitive one. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Jason, and enjoy some of the off-season here.
You too. That was great. Anytime.
Thanks so much. Jason York, former NHL defenseman, current Sportsnet analyst. And that insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. So we are talking about eligible players tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I really do feel like the Sedins got to be locks.
See, that's an interesting, like, I'm mm-hmm. off. Both of them should be in,
right.
I believe, first. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've heard people say, like, you know, one over the other.
There's no way they can put one in
they would
over
never,
the other.
They would never do that. They would never do that, I know, because literally everything they've done in their career, they've done it in mm-hmm. lockstep. But, you know, it's at least something to chew on.
It sure is. It's a big one today. On the other side, I also think Caroline Ouellette will be the lock for the women's. You know, yep. Usually there's always one. One day there could be two, but she would be the next in line for sure. But our own Jennifer Botterill, certainly in that conversation. If there's going to be a time where two go in, I really hope it's those both. She's had quite the year for Sportsnet. Wouldn't it be nice to cap that off with a Hockey Hall of Fame nod?
That would be something.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why. There's like an obvious cue. Like, there's a yeah. lot that deserve to
Put
be
them
in.
On.
I mean, I don't understand why they wait for one per. It doesn't make much sense to me. There are a lot of great candidates from the NHL and international men's side as well. Mm-hmm. But I just believe if you should be in, just get in. It mm-hmm. doesn't have to be restricted to whatever number it is. Sometimes there's not that people that get in don't deserve to be in. But I just feel like if you deserve to get in, put them in on when the eligibility is right.
I love it. There's no betting odds on the Hockey Hall of Fame induction.
No, but some insider trading.
That's true. But there are NHL futures out for next season's Cup champ. We're going to talk about that after the break in the Wake and Rake. What's brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds, which is with a special guest, Cabbie.
Ooh.
That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish. Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Let's make you some money. It's time for the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. And the guy that knows everything about betting, Cavi, executive producer of betting content for Sportsnet Bets. Good morning, Cavi.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're good. We are good. Got to see the Avs lift the Stanley Cup. We're going to have some future bets on who has the craziest Stanley Cup party, what goes in the cup. No lines on Unibet for what goes in the cup, but what would you be putting in the cup if you had your day with the Stanley Cup?
Cereal. I've been very fortunate in my life that I've had Captain Crunch and Lucky Charms. I've eaten it out of the cup.
Oh yeah, I forgot you've got, you know, all the ins and
No, well, it just so I like it. And shout out to Mike Richards of the LA Kings. Those are the two times that I've eaten out of the cup. So I would, I'd probably go Golden Grahams because I've had Captain Crunch and Golden Grahams. I think are like one and two. That's just me though. I would go cereal.
You need something that's SOG resistant. I feel like
because
like
a
it's
lot
a
of
big,
milk
it's
going
a big bowl. It's a big bowl. A lot of milk. You need something that can hold up to the
That's
milk.
True. I mean, I'm trying to practice portion control these days, so I would just and not doing it very well, but I just go a little bit of Catherine. I've heard like people have had pasta and like whether it's just spaghetti or penne or whatever out of the cup. But you're right, it would, and then that would hold longer than cereal. You got to kind of, especially like Captain Crunch, you got to eat in like within 2 minutes because then it's just super soggy. You're right.
Everyone grab a spoon.
Yeah.
Sharing
is caring. All right. So the season ended and already there's futures up for next year's Stanley Cup champion. I'm going to read a couple out to you and let's try to see some value on this. So Avs obviously open up as Cup favorites plus 425 on Unibet to be followed by the Toronto Maple Leafs at plus 900, which was a bit surprising considering they didn't make it out of the first round once again. And the Tampa Bay Lightning are plus 1,000. To win the Stanley Cup. Those are your top three, followed by Panthers, Hurricanes, Vegas Golden Knights, Oilers, Flames, Wild, and then the Rangers, way down near the middle of the pack at plus 2,000. I think that that's quite shocking. We just had Jason York on who said that, you know, he really strongly believes that they could be a Cup contender next year. Well, I'm seeing some value at Rangers plus 2,000. Is there a team that you just feel confident about next year and maybe surprising or coming back? And I know you might not have the odds up in front of you, so I can give them to you live if you're looking for them.
That's interesting. I think the markets know, well, certainly in Ontario, like how much the Toronto Maple Leafs, the markets know how much people spend mm-hmm. on the Toronto Maple Leafs. So it doesn't surprise me that they're number two on that list. The Vegas Golden Knights are interesting. Like they shouldn't have missed the playoffs this year. Mm-hmm. And that team, you know, Leonard's got some injury stuff and, you know, Jack Eichel wasn't 100%. Like that team is pretty stacked. So what's the Golden Knights odds?
Are the Golden Knights odds? They are plus 1,500.
Okay. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, it's not plus 2,000 like the Rangers, but I would definitely look at the Golden Knights. Now, I wouldn't lock in a futures bet now because mm-hmm. I don't want to tie up my money for that long. But I would. Obviously, we got free agency coming up in a couple of weeks, and there's some moves to be made. And I don't actually. Do they have a coach yet, or is DeBoer just went to? Who did he get? I'm drawing a blank.
DeBoer to Dallas. Bruce mm-hmm. Cassidy from Boston's in Vegas now.
Mm. Okay. My bad. All right. And Boston's looking for a coach. Right. So yeah, Golden Knights. That's intriguing to me.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. I mean, you're right though, Cabby. It's not like you think you're getting like ahead of the market if you're betting early because you know lines come out and you can maybe you can take advantage of what might be mispriced. But generally, this is not mispriced. They're pretty much where they should be, and they're not going to go anywhere for a really long time. Like things really have to change over the course of the regular season for it to be reflected in the odds. So I think it's worth even allowing the season to start and see what's going on before you make this bet or make a bet in the futures market in the NHL. But if you were to lay down some markers, I'm with Jason York. I think Igor Shesterkin is going to be able to carry the Rangers pretty far if they have a lot of room to improve that team. So if you can grab that around plus 2,000, if you're looking just to have, you know, start building a position in the NHL's futures market, I think you could do worse than the Rangers. I think the Oilers, Blues, Penguins may be interesting as well around that plus 2,000 range.
Right, yeah, and then like what's going to happen with the core. Now, I'm interested by Boston, too, because Marchand's out till like December, and so a team like that who's, I don't know, maybe they start, you know, maybe they're, you know, 2-12 out of the gate, or, you know, 6-18 or something, like, and then their futures, their value increases, or the odds become longer and longer. But like when they become full health, like that team, and we don't know if Bergeron's going to re-sign for a 1 year, but Boston's intriguing too, because like I anticipate them not having a very strong start, which will lower their value or increase their value, because who's going to be betting on Boston come April and May? But that could be a nice little sleeper pick down the road too.
Yeah, that's bang on. You shouldn't be betting the Boston Bruins right now because of what you mentioned with Marchand.
Plus 2,700 right now, by the way.
But that should improve. But Bergeron is coming back. So if Bergeron's back, they plan to
win. He said a 1 year.
He's not coming back if they're going to start rebuilding. So there is an expectation that they will be a competitive team, but I'm agreeing with you, Cabby. You should wait on that price and not do what I did last year, which was bet on the New York Islanders, assuming that they were going to be back in an Eastern Conference final and getting them at long odds, because they started on the road and lost, like, what, their first 15 games and never got it back on the rails?
Right.
You gotta wait in this market.
It was, they didn't win it. Is it UBS Arena for a month and change or something? And also, sorry, real quick about Boston, Charlie McAvoy is going to be out for a while too. So these guys could be a bumpy start for them.
I like that. Already thinking of ways to capitalize midway through the fall. So one thing I wanted to get your take on was everything that happened with the NBA draft and those first overall odds that went, honestly, all over the place with the Woj tweet. It seemed really interesting, something I've never seen before, obviously, where an insider says, hey, this guy's going first overall. The market had to kind of like crash for a bit. Everybody took it off the books. And I obviously, I bet the wrong one. And he was wrong. But what do you take of how this is going to, you know, change with sports betting and insiders having information and how the books kind of have that relationship?
That's a great question, because Woj doesn't really get anything wrong. It was weird to see him get that wrong. And then I think it was 5 minutes before the actual draft. He's like, oh, I'm hearing something different. And then, it wasn't Jabari Smith at one. It was obviously Banchero. I don't know. I'm not going to say it. But there's I think there will be some concern about that very thing. And obviously when Woj got it so wrong, like there was one sharp I'm aware of in Vegas that, got crazy value on the correct order. You know what they might do is just make them like, we might just get more one way options. So like, will this person be drafted at one? Yes. Versus like, you can't ever bet no on those. You just don't bet. You just don't make the bet. So I wonder if that part changes. But the insider thing is, because there's only really two. There's Shams and there's Woj. And then, you know, football, there's Schefter and there's Rappaport. And baseball, I guess it's Passan, Jeff Passan. I'm interested to see how that changes too. I don't have the answer right now, but I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah, drafts are wild because if you do get one decent piece of intel, it affects the rest of the draft, right? And you can bet draft position after that, you know, domino falls, and you could really make a lot of money if you have one thing correct and can make other judgments based on that. So I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised now with it being more and more legitimate by, you know, with every passing month and sports season that, yeah, we're going to see, you know, restrictions be a little bit tighter and maybe those opportunities to just bet yes rather than yes and no.
I think they'll just, like, the books will limit your bets. Like, they'll want to limit their exposure. So your max could be 100 or 500 versus, you know, some books will take up to 10,000 or 20,000 or 100 grand for, like, the whales, the VIP, those sharps out in Las Vegas. But I think they'll just, for, like, us, the retail, like, just the, you know, casual or intermediate bettors, not that we're dropping, like, 5 G's on a draft pick futures, but I think they would just, they would limit the bets to reduce their exposure.
I mean, if Woj was working for a book or for Vegas, he would have done lots of damage, but we're not going to think that that's the case. Okay, so this summer, obviously we're done basketball, we're done hockey, there's no football right now. It's just MLB. So give us some other things that you like betting on this summer. Are you a horse racer? You got tennis? You got golf? Like, where should we start sprinkling our interests?
Well, however your audience, whatever they're into. I mean, I sprinkle around a little bit, and I'm talking like $5, $10 bets. I'm not, we're not out here saying, oh, you know, bet your whole paycheck. Like, that's ridiculous. So, the Open Championship is coming up soon. I think that's, when is that? Next 2 weeks or something? And then Wimbledon starts today. Mm-hmm. So there's some opportunities. I like betting on baseball. I like player props. I've been on, like, pitcher strikeout props a fair amount. There's some absolute flamethrowers like Shane McClanahan. I love this kid in San Diego, Mackenzie Gore. I put a few dollars on the Houston Astros. That series with the Yankees was very telling. Like, they went into the Bronx, no hit the Yankees. Yankees had to, they needed an Aaron Judge walk off to at least tie the series. That's going to be, the Astros are legit. And even though everybody hates them, or many fan bases hate them because of 2017, that team's scary. That team is, and Verlander is, like, I don't know, 85, and he's still throwing like 96. Like, that guy is just amazing. So I'll pick my spots, tennis and golf. And there's, Israel Adesanya is fighting UFC like 276 soon. So there's, I like to sprinkle it around, but my main focus for the next couple of months will be on baseball.
I love it. That's going to be our main focus as well with our Wake and Rake every morning. You're right. The US or the Open is 2 weeks away. Rory opens as the favorite at +1,000 on Unibet. Maybe we'll get you back on before then and talk a little golf. All right. So one other thing we got to address is the Looney Dogs content theft from your team. You guys went to a Looney Dogs game after I had my own Looney Dogs live betting, and it just seemed like, the idea wasn't credited properly to the original.
That's fair.
Yeah, original.
That is fair.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. A lot of people messaged me saying, hey, where do you think the Sportsnet Bets team got this idea? I just wanted to air, a little grievance.
Oh, yeah, you listen. I didn't know that you had that real estate. Like, yeah, that was your...
That's my thing, Cavi. I love just having as many hot dogs as I can, like a pig.
Did you get to 9?
Smoked by whoever was there. I got like, I think 4.5, maybe 5. I think it was 5, but I felt gross saying 5 on air. But if somebody got 9, then I feel good about saying 5, all right?
Yeah, it was Pat Stuthers on our team,
Pat,
who went a couple of weeks after you did.
Mm-hmm.
And he crushed. He tried to do one an inning, and he got to 9.
How was he feeling after?
It's disgusting. I haven't. I'll see him today, and I ask him about his bowel movement. 24 hours later.
Yeah, that's tough.
Okay, listen. Okay, that's you have a legitimate thief, and I don't want to have Sportsnet versus Sportsnet crime.
No, never, never.
I just think
you have a legitimate.
No worries.
Beef.
I just needed to hear that, and I'm good with it, and we can move on.
I just think we need to see a loony dog off.
Oh my God! There should be a women's bracket.
Okay. A handicap.
Yeah, a handicap. Can we factor that in?
No,
yeah.
No. There's no. There's no women's bracket when it comes to eating.
I will be +10,000 to win. All right. So hey, it's just $5 on that might be good. Okay. So we're gonna do our best bets or bounce around a little bit today. Obviously, just MLB action. The Jays start their very important series here against the Red Sox at home. They actually opened as -195 on the money line here with Unibet. I was surprised because the Red Sox are really, really hot. The Jays are in a tough spot as of late, but they have Gausman on the mound. Is that a pretty favorable line if you want to make some value on the Red Sox today? They're +163.
The Red Sox are, or
yes,
the Jays are?
The Red Sox are. Yeah, the Red Sox are. Mm-hmm.
I haven't prepared enough
That's
for
all right.
this game, so I don't want to give an opinion just out of the off of a gut feel.
I will say I know that
JD is a gut feel guy,
yes,
but I need to read a little bit more. I'm so sorry that I have a better answer for
Let
you.
Let me give you something. So Gausman obviously is probably one of three pitchers that you have some confidence with the Blue Jays. On the other side, the probable pitcher for the Red Sox is Connor Siebold, making his first MLB start of the season if he does play tonight. He's 26 years old. He's been playing a lot in Worcester, and we had this conversation before the air. It is Worcester. People think it's Worcester. Somebody that lived in the Boston region, it's Worcester. So just throwing that out there for people today. He's playing AAA there. So big kind of opportunity for him, a little bit lower on the confidence ratings as someone that hasn't made an MLB start this year. I think that that's factored into why the Blue Jays are such heavy favorites on the money line. But they haven't been great as of late, and the Red Sox have a 19-4 record in June. It's just, it seems to me surprising.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are killing it right now. Mm-hmm. It was the beginning of June, I believe it was the Braves who won 14 in a row, and now Boston's doing something special. The bet I love is either the Nerfy or the Yerfy. Now, the Nerfy is no runs in the first inning.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Yerfy is, yes, a run in the first inning. So I don't want to call him a rookie, but with an inexperienced starter, George Springer has been we call it a Nerfy killer. So he's like just getting all you need is one run in the first inning for the Yerfy. So I would be intrigued by the Yerfy. Now, these aren't like huge bets. They're usually, you know, -120 or -140. Sometimes you might get a +100 if it's unlikely. But I like the Nerfy or the Yerfy in this spot.
I'll give you the Yerfy odds. So over 0.5 runs in the first inning is -117, and under is -107. So, you know, not much value
on
it.
Flip.
Yeah, coin flip. But if you want to go Jays to score a run, +175. And if you want to go Red Sox to score a run, +255.
Okay.
So more value on picking the exact team, obviously. But
so the normal Yerfy is both teams?
Or I think it's just any team, right?
Any team,
either
yeah.
Team. Either
so that would be
yeah, either team.
That'd be -117. You like that?
I've got to look at some game logs to see how Gossman's performed and if some teams have lit him up in the first inning and whatever. But I would lean that. And I think on the schedule today, Pablo Lopez. This Miami's got two Lopez and Sandy Alcantara, like these two aces. And I usually lean in on their on his strikeouts problems. Probably like 5.5. Actually, probably 6.5. And I'm an optimistic bettor, so I usually go with the over.
Okay.
I don't like to root for destruction and famine, playing and sweat on the unders. So that's probably where I'll sprinkle a little bit later when I do some reading.
It does sound like a Nerfy, though.
Oh, for Lopez in against St. Louis.
Yeah,
that's a Nerfy opportunity.
Don't have to sweat for too long
again,
either.
But yeah,
right?
That's a Nerfy opportunity.
I'm looking at that game right now on Unibet. They don't have the pitcher props over under, but I can get you the Nerfy or the Murphy.
No, Nerfy or the Yerfy.
Yerfy, I was gonna say, not Blake Murphy. The Yerfy or the Nerfy. So
we
usually have you pick a wake and rake pick. So if you want to give me one that you feel confident about, I can give you the odds on that, and we can put it in our parlay. Is it a Nerfy, Yerfy, or is it a money line? Like, what are you thinking tonight for your wake and rake?
I'll lock in that without even doing the research.
That's all right.
This is uncharacteristic for me, but I'll go with that Marlins Cardinals. I'll go with the Nerfy.
I like it.
I don't even know if you can parlay this into
I think we can figure it out.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Nerfy.
Inning,
no runs.
No runs
in the first inning. Correct.
Okay. I'm going to put that in. Cuthbert, while I'm doing that, what do you got here?
Okay, I'm more of a hockey, basketball, football guy. Handicapping baseball, not really my jam. But I do know the New York Yankees are legendary.
They're good.
They had a tough weekend, though. So I feel like that positive regression, I feel mm-hmm. like that has already started to come around with them getting that walk-off victory, as Cabbie alluded to yesterday. I think those bats continue in a pitching mismatch with, I believe, Jordan Montgomery's on the bump for the New York Yankees. They are huge, huge favorites. You can't play them on the money line, so I'll go with the run line because the safest bet for me is the New York Yankees for a novice baseball better. So to try to keep the line mm-hmm. rolling, to try and keep your picks alive here on the Wake and Rake, I will take the best team in baseball to win by two runs or more.
So the money line.
Who are the Yankees playing?
The A's.
It's probably pretty important to the analysis.
Yeah.
The Oakland A's.
Oakland A's.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. They'll beat anyone, is what Cuthbert's saying. They're minus 305 on the money line. Obviously doesn't fit in our parameters, so Cuthbert's going with the run line, which is minus 141. Still, like, a pretty heavy favorite on that one. Yours, Cabbie, I went and figured it out, minus 124, so that's a nerfy in the Marlins-Cardinals game in the first inning. And I'm going to add... I can't bet against Alejandro Kirk. So yesterday, I know you saw my first inning win. I parlayed.
Phenomenal. Congratulations.
Thanks. I was so shocked.
How did we wait this long to talk about
it? It was crazy. I parlayed yesterday, Kirk to get a home run and Rowdy Tellez to get a home run. I'm like, you know what? The Thick Kings tonight, I feel good about him. First inning, it hit. It was plus 1,800. I just sprinkled $5 on it, $195. I was like, oh, you're right. This is starting my day off right. Might have lost a lot during the Avs game, but that's fine. I thought that was something special. I'm going to keep riding Alejandro Kirk today. His odds have obviously caught up. People know that he's been electric as of late. If you want to bet him just to get a home run, it's plus 425, which isn't too bad. But I'm going to go with something that fits in our parameters that I feel pretty confident about, and that's him to get over 1.5 bases. You know, yesterday he did that right away with a home run. I think that he's getting hits. He's someone that I feel very confident about just continuing his dominance. So that's plus money as well. It's plus 118 on Unibet. So I'm going to put that in there. I'm feeling good about the Jays' bats, not feeling great about the Jays' pitching. And if you're thinking that maybe there's a lot of runs scored today, the total runs is over under 9, which I hate when it's a flat number. So you could tease it down. If you want to tease it down to over 8.5, that is, won't tell me what it is. You can do that, but I'm unable to tell you what the odds are right now, but you could tease it down. You could tease it up depending on how confident you are. I don't know. Feels like an over game to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it. I'm more comfortable with the Alejandro Kirk props. But you mentioned, you know, someone from Worcester.
Worcester is starting.
On the bump for the Red Sox. I'm scared of the Red Sox, so I would be more interested in run props than playing any money lines, especially with the Jays as a big, big favorite against a hot team. But you guys have broken down the prop market with the Blue Jays very, very well in this segment. So
I'm
going to trust you, Ailish.
All right. So let's recap our Wake and Rake with Cabbie. Cabbie's going the nerfy, new word I've learned today, in the first inning, Marlins and Cardinals under 0.5 runs is what you'd look for on Unibet. That's minus 124. Justin Cuthbert. We got two new faces on the Wake and Rake today. So if you guys lose tomorrow, no one's going to hold you accountable except for me. So Yankees on the run line, minus 1.5, and that's minus 141 on Unibet. And I'm going Alejandro Kirk over 1.5 bases, plus money, plus 118. When you parlay that together on Unibet, it's plus 575.
Okay, let's go.
Fun little Monday sweat.
A fun little Monday sweat. Cabbie, we appreciate you coming on today, and let's win some money.
Let's do it. Thank you so much for having me, and good luck. I love the Thick Kings, by the way. That's a wonderful nickname for those two. It's perfect.
I love it. All right, next time they play, I'll be doing it again. That was the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Thanks for joining us, Cabbie. Thanks for joining us today, Justin Cuthbert. JD having just a nice day off, maybe a little Stanley Cup hangover. He'll be back tomorrow, and so will Blake Murphy for the Wake and Rake. That was today on the Fan Morning Show. We'll catch you guys tomorrow.